grateful that you're here. My name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am a little surprised that I am here this morning. After last week and how well the students did, I thought that there was going to be demands for my resignations, and that we were going to install Paulie and Blake and Cadence and Will from another church to come and speak, so I'm grateful that I still have my job. I feel a little bit hot. Paulie, if I go down, you're up, all right? You're in the bullpen. So we're really grateful for all the support that you gave for our students last week. Really enjoyed the way that they led us into worship, and we see only good things happening from here. That was a good kickoff that's going to start a lot of good things within our church, so we're grateful for that. Hopefully you were handed a bulletin when you came in, and you can get out a pink sheet of paper and follow along, and you'll see that we are going to discuss honor today, because it's Mother's Day. And I say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I recognize that there are some who this is not a joyous day, that mothers have passed on and that you're missing them and it brings a sense of sorrow, or that there are few that didn't have a good experience with their mother growing up. And there may be some resentment or some bitterness or some anger there. And I want to say I'm sorry. We're trying to be sensitive to that. But we want to honor mothers, and I think that we can honor the position without having to always honor the person. So we can honor the role of a mother, even if we haven't had a good experience with our particular mother. And I want to begin by reading a poem that I found about mothers that hopefully will be honorable to the mothers in the room. It says, Mother's Day. A mother loves right from the start. She holds her baby close to her heart. The bond that grows will never falter. Her love is so strong, it will never alter. A mother gives a never-ending love. She never feels that she has given enough. For you, she will always do her best. Constantly working, there's no time to rest. A mother is there when things go wrong, a hug and a kiss to help us along. Always there when we need her near, gently wiping our eyes when we shed a tear. So on this day, shower your mother with love. Gifts and presents are nice, but it is not enough. Give your mother a day to have some peace of mind. Be gentle, be good, be helpful, be kind. Happy Mother's Day. And I found this tribute on the web too. It says, Mom, your love for family and Jesus shines bright. With each moment and memory, you bring light. Your kind heart and nurturing ways make our family bond stronger day by day. Thank you for being our rock. With you by our side, we'll never stop. We love and appreciate all that you do. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers here. It's good to spend some time honoring our parents, and especially mothers on today. I mean, we're commanded to do that. Exodus 20 has the first time we hear the fifth commandment of honoring our father and mother, and Deuteronomy 5 repeats it. And Deuteronomy 5 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So we're told to honor our parents. And I hope that you help me to do that today as we think about honor and we learn a little bit more about honor. As I've been getting ready for the sermon, I've been thinking about honor and reflecting about it. And I was at first thought that our culture is very devoid of honor. You know, that's more of like an Eastern mentality with an honor and shame that's really tied into their society, and we don't have that. But as I've been going through the last couple of weeks, I've been surprised at how often honor has come up in the things that I've observed, and I'm actually a little encouraged by the way that we have honor in our society. Last week I was at a graduation, and there was a moment in the graduation where they had a special presentation of a diploma, because there was a student at the school who passed away during her last semester before she could graduate. So her brother and one of her close friends stood in her place as they awarded this diploma to her, to them on her behalf. And it was a moving moment. It was powerful as they were honoring this woman who had died. And people started clapping, and then everybody rose and they stood and they honored what was happening here. And it was powerful. It was a powerful moment, and I was grateful that I was able to be there. I saw some other aspects of honors. I went to Hazelwood West on Wednesday to see the senior day for soccer and for volleyball. We have a couple of guys that play on the volleyball team, and it was their home last home game, and both for the soccer team and for the volleyball team, they brought their parents, and they were able to escort, the seniors escorted them out onto the field or to the court, and there was a little spiel about who they are and what their plans are after graduating high school, and then they were able to acknowledge a teacher, somebody that they picked that had made an impact on them, and they had a little blurb of why this teacher was important and significant for them, and exchanged hugs or handshakes and some gifts. And I was like, this is good. I like to see this. They're honoring each other. Here we have the volleyball and the soccer association honoring the parents, and the child's honoring the parents and honoring the teacher, and it was really encouraging. I saw something similar at a choir concert too, where the seniors were recognized and the teacher gave them each a little note and, you know, apologized for them being so short because she had like 15 or 20 to write. And she's like, it was too emotional for me, so I had to keep it brief. And then at the end, all the students brought and gave her a gift because it was her last year of teaching. She had chose to finish up the school year, and then she's going to go back home and pay attention to some of the needs that her child has at home, where she felt like she needed to spend some extra time there. And she was torn, said it was a really hard decision, but she felt like this was the decision that was right for her family. And I saw that the kids, or the high school students, were giving gifts, they were enjoying, there were some inside jokes. And then afterwards, when it was dismissed, you just saw them crowd around this teacher with hugs and just really trying to mob her and appreciate and show their appreciation and their love for her. And I was encouraged by all of this. But I noticed that none of this was called honoring each other. There was recognition, some dedication, some acknowledgement, but there wasn't the word honor that was used. And I think that's okay, but I think that the word honor brings something of substance. It does something different than just a simple acknowledgement or a recognition. And we don't see honor, the word, used a lot, except for certain areas of life. You know, we have honor classes, and if you graduate with honors, it shows up in the education system. In martial arts, there's a lot of fighting with honor or with dishonor. Sometimes you have honor within the military. There's certain things you can be honorably discharged, and then there's awards and medals that are given to those to honor them. And there's a lot of honor that happens to the deceased. But in general, most of the time in our life, we don't see a lot of honor, and we don't hear a lot of honor. And I think that we're missing something. As I've reflected and I've thought about this more, I think that there's something very significant about honor and what it is. But we're very, kind of clueless about what it is as a society. So I want to spend some time looking at the Bible to give us some ideas of what honor is, and this is where I want to begin, is with a definition. What is honor? How do we understand what honor is? And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 2 to see the short little story that gives us a good insight into what honor is by showing us an example of what it is not. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to 1 Samuel 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 27. It says, "And there came a man of God to Eli and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest part of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now, declares the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed.'" During this time, Eli is the judge. He's kind of the overseer of everything that happens. And he is from the tribe of Levi, and that was the significant tribe that was honored to be priests of the Lord, to bring the sacrifices before him. And a man of God comes to Eli and says, "Hey, we got some problems here. What's going on? I give you this place of privilege along your families, and yet here we see in verse 29, you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me." So we see that an honoring is kind of a lifting up. It's an exalting above. And here we see that Eli is honoring his sons above the Lord. animal, maybe a lamb or a sheep, and they brought it before the Lord, before David, and said, "Here you go, let's cook this up." And he's like, "I can't do this. I can't. You guys risk your lives. Let me offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord." Maybe that's helpful. Or if we were going to modernize it in a really not very good way, but the best illustration I could come up with, let's say that David's having a craving for something, but he's broke, but he's with these men during army, the war times, and they're worn out, they're exhausted, but they don't have any money. But their leader is longing for something, and they have such devotion to him. They care about him so much that they want to please him. So they go to a place and they donate some blood and some plasma, even though one of them's diabetic and the other one's a hemophiliac. Means that he can't, you know, his blood doesn't clot. So he gets the cash in hand. They come and they stumble towards him and they're like, "Here's your cash. Go buy that Slurpee you wanted, David." And he's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. You guys can't be donating blood. Like, you're risking your lives." And instead of taking the cash and getting his Slurpee or whatever he's craving for, you know, Snix, Twix, Kit Kat, whatever it is, he donates it to the Red Cross. Now, I realize this illustration is terrible, okay? I know that there are people out there in the medical field that are like, you know, they don't let people with blood disorders donate at the Red Cross. And, I mean, I get it. I get that this is just a horrible thing. But hopefully you're going to give me some grace and you're going to follow with me to understand that the point that we're trying to see is here are these men. When they started with David, they're a ragtag bunch. They were not the noblest of noblest. In fact, they were a bunch of whiners and complainers. They were rejects. But spending time with him changed them and transformed them. And they had such a devotion to him. They had such a loyalty to him, such a love for him, that when he just made a passing comment about wanting this drink from this well that's in enemy territory, they're like, "We'd love to do that. This is a great way to honor our leader. Let's do it." And I feel like this would make a really good movie scene. I'm not exactly sure how that worked out. It's in enemy territory. The Philistines are surrounding this. They have control of this. And yet these three guys are very Navy SEAL-ish, and they have to sneak in at night, fight their way through to this well. This isn't a smash and grab. It takes time for it to go down deep and then to bring the water back up. And then they come back through. Have you ever tried to walk across a room with a full cup and not spill it? Imagine if you were around these Philistines and you had a bucket and there's just three of you and there's hundreds of them. And yet they do it. They accomplish it. They come and they say to David, "Here, we got this for you. We want to honor you with this gift." And David accepts it and he sees it and realizes the risk that it took for them to get there. And he pours it out on the ground as an offering before the Lord, saying, "I am not worthy of this. It was at your risk. You could have died. I cannot drink your blood. I give it to the Lord. He is worthy of it." And he's honoring these men that risked their lives to show him honor. Now we read through this and we're like, you know, that doesn't sound very practical. Like, at least put it in like a flower bed or something so something can grow nice, a little memorial to remember it. And this is one thing that we need to know and start to understand is that in a lot of ways, honor is not very practical. And I think that's one of the reasons that we struggle with it, because we live in a society that is really hounding and pounding on practicality. If it's not practical, like, why would you do it? And honor doesn't feel very practical. And it's not in a lot of ways. But it's good. It's valuable. Think about the different times that you've seen people been honored with like a certificate, maybe in a company or some organization. We honor you with this certificate. It's a piece of paper. You can't take that anywhere and get a discount. You're not going to get pulled over and be like, "Look, I was employee of the month." And the officer's going to be like, "Well, okay, you know, let me get you there quicker and run the sirens and go." I mean, it's almost worthless, except for the person that received it and the people that gave it. I mean, you think about the same thing of how military and other places honor with medals. That's not very practical. Very rarely do I see somebody just walking around with all these medals or a few medals. Let's see, I should get dressed today. I'm going to Walmart. How many medals do I want to put on? Where should I get this? It's not a very practical thing, but it's valuable. It's honorable. It's got weight. It's got substance. In a lot of ways, honorable is not very tangible. We can't get a hold on it. We can't touch it and feel it. But we can feel it. We can't feel it with our hands, but we feel it with our senses, with our presence. We've been in these situations where it's like, man, this is good. Something's happening here. something of weight, something of value, something that encourages me and encourages the others around me. But it's not necessarily practical. Another thing I want to look at is the story of Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. And Jesus comes to John the Baptist. Let me just read it to you in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me.' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" It's interesting, if you look at the Mark account of this in chapter 1, the voice from heaven says, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Now, there's a reason why it's recorded different ways by the different authors, and I'm not going to get into it too much. And don't, like, let that scramble your brain. Well, which one was it? Well, you know, you can research that a little bit. The point here is that we see something where there's not necessarily a specific action given, but words are spoken. And the words are what communicate and bring about the honor. Here we have God the Father elevating, lifting up Jesus, the Son of God, in front of the crowds. We see that a gift was given, that the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and laid upon Jesus. This is an incredible story of honor. And it was very public. And that's one of the aspects that we should remind ourselves, is that honor is not an isolated thing. It doesn't just happen on our own. You can't be in a room by yourself with nobody and have a sense of honor for yourself. That's pride. That's arrogance. Honor is something that is given by somebody else, given by the community, whether it's large or small. It is something that's given that we receive. It's not something that we take for ourselves. And here, the Father is honoring Jesus by lifting him up and saying that he's my Son and I'm well pleased with him. Well pleased with him. There's one other aspect of honor that I want to look at, and it's just from a part of 1 Peter 3:15. And it's just this one little section that I think is very helpful and revealing to us. It can be very instructive. 1 Peter 3:15, there's this one little part that says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. When I was younger, I memorized this verse, and it was in the old NIV translation, the 1984 translation. Since then, they've kind of adjusted it because language develops over time. But the way I remember it is, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." But in your hearts, honor Christ as the Lord, as holy, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And the thing that I find interesting here is that this word honor is happening within us. It's something that we should do within our hearts. It's something that we have. It's not in isolation by ourselves, because when we honor the Lord, we're honoring him in his presence, and it's happening in us. So it's not a solo activity, but it begins within us. At the beginning, I read two poems. You know, and maybe you connected with something. Maybe something reminded you of your mom. You felt some sense of warmth. What if I was to tell you that one of the poems was written by a human author and the other one was written by a ChatGPT? What if one of them was written by somebody who had flesh and bones and thought and created, and the other one was put together by an algorithm of a computer? You don't have to wonder too much what if, because it was true. The longer one, the one that I read at the beginning, that one was put together by a person. But the first one, "Mom, with your love for your family and Jesus shines bright, with each moment in memory you bring light. Your kind heart and nurturing ways makes our family bond stronger day by day. Thank you for being our rock. With you by our side, we will never stop. We love and appreciate all that you do." The ones and zeros put that together. I just typed in a couple of things, you know, mom, family, Jesus, and out it came. Does that lessen the experience that you had hearing that? And I'm not saying it's right or wrong for you to feel lessened, but most of us would feel like, yeah, that does kind of like rob it from something, because it didn't come from the heart. It didn't come from a person. Sure, a person started it going, but it was generated by some sort of AI, if you will. And here we're told to honor Christ in our hearts. in your heart set apart the Lord as Christ. We need to honor him with our soul, with our being. And we honor the Lord. We esteem him. We lift him up because he's worthy, because he's God. Revelation does this again and again and again. As the end times come, as the Lord returns, and he sets all the mess that we have right, and everything becomes clear, that is misty, then we see that the Lord is honored. We will see that he is truly God. We will witness his glory, and we will praise him. And we see this again and again here in Revelation 4:11. It says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Later in 5 verses 11 and 12, it says, "Then I looked and I heard a sound around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voices of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice," with a loud voice, with a strong voice, with a voice of substance and strength and weight and honor. Not a light voice, not a sissy voice, not a puny voice, but with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." It happens again later in chapter 7. As I turn to it and find it. And this is what it says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The honor begins within us, but then it moves outward. It's expressed by the things that we say and how we feel and how we live our lives and the actions that we take and what we desire and what we want and what we resist, what we find beautiful and what we find repulsive. All of these things come from within us outward into our lives. And as we honor the Lord and we lift him up and we exalt him, then we begin to be set in the right spot. We begin to be fulfilled of what we were created to be, having a direct connection with the Lord, walking in his way, feeling his pleasure, enjoying his glory, and following his ways because he loves us and he wants the best for us. So a failure to honor Jesus is a failure to elevate him to the highest point. If we don't elevate him to the highest point, then we're elevating something else to the highest point, and that's idolatry. This is what Eli's sons were guilty of. They were not honoring the Lord. They did not put him at the highest point within their hearts. They were honoring something else. They were honoring themselves. So this is a sacrifice for the Lord, but it's good enough for me. He won't mind. He's got a lot of other stuff, but let me take the best for myself. I see the beauty of this woman, and I want to enjoy them. They are for me. They were honoring themselves above the Lord, which brought dishonor on them, which is why the man of God came to them and said, "You're despised, and the Lord will esteem you lightly." Eli's son is not the only ones that have failed to do this. We've all failed to honor the Lord all the time, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our being. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We've all been guilty. The very good news is that God sees this and he still loves us. And he wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to enjoy the fullness of life that he has in himself, which is why he sent Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man, to live the perfect life, to die the death that we deserve. Jesus died a dishonorable death. He was shamed, and he died. We should have been shamed, and we should die, but he took our place so that when we put our faith in him, just as he was risen and has eternal life, and he was risen up into a place of honor, that he allows us to go with him, to be seated with him, to be brought into the family. So no longer are we outsiders, but now we are sons and daughters of the King. This is incredibly good news. We don't want to be like these people that God says in Isaiah, 29:13. These people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. That is not honorable. The honorable thing is to start by coming close to the Lord within our hearts. And then that will change and transform us so that our lives will begin to line up with who we truly are in Christ. Draw near to the Lord with your heart. Trust Him for forgiveness of sin and giving you a new heart. And when you do, He'll give you a spirit, His Holy Spirit, who will dwell within you, who will empower you so that you can love and honor God and love and honor people the way that He does. Will you put your faith in Jesus? Will you recognize that you cannot honor the Lord the way you need to until you trust Him? Will you see that you have dishonored Him and it has separated you from God Himself and you need God Himself to rectify the situation? Will you put your faith in Jesus to be the one who is your mediator to make things right between you and God? I hope that you will do that. I know many of you have, but for some of you that are still waiting, today's the day. Now is the time. Tell the Lord, God, I see that I'm far from you. I see that I've dishonored you. I see that I deserve condemnation, but I'm asking for your mercy and grace. And He loves to give it. He said, that's why I came. I'm so glad that you're telling me this, because now I can accept you and bring you into the family. And now we can rejoice. Now we can celebrate. Now I will live with you forever and ever, and you will be with me in my glory. And we will enjoy the fullness of who I am. But you have to put your faith in Him. You have to trust Him. Decide to do that. Decide to do it today. It's not a special words. It's a heart thing. Draw near to the Lord with your heart. Trust Him that He is who He says He is, and He will make you who He says He will make you. Righteous, clean, pure, a son or daughter of the Father. From that, our whole lives will transform, and we will begin to love and honor the Lord and each other the way that we were meant to. But how does that work? The Bible is very vague as far as what honor should do, like what we should do for honoring. I mean, it tells us that we should outdo one another by showing honor. We should show honor to those who honor is due. That we should honor everybody, especially the emperor, the king, the government officials, yada yada. It can be challenging and difficult to do, but we have the Spirit of God, so we can do it. The closest specific action that I found about how to honor the Lord is in Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. This is the clearest thing I saw. The way to honor the Lord is to give to the Lord. And we're really grateful that so many of you have been doing that. We're enjoying that right now. And some of you that are waiting, come on. Help us out. Join in the fun. It's a great time right now to give to the Lord. We're really enjoying the blessings that He's given us. And we want to seek and use our wealth to honor Him, to lift Him up, to show that He is good. And we don't need this money because He provides everything for us. So I invite you again, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Beyond that, the Bible just tells us to continue to honor. And I think the reason why there's not so specific things given is because honor is very cultural relative. The way that we do honor here is very different than how China does honor, than Japan, or than England, or wherever. It's very cultural situated. There are certain things that I would do here that would be seen as very dishonorable, that in other societies, they would accept that as an honorable thing. So I think that's one of the reasons why the Bible doesn't give specific actions. I mean, we experience that even within the United States, even within our own North County area, that different cultures honor in different ways. I was reminded about this as I went to some of these ceremonies and these graduations and this choir concert. Typically, white people together, when they want to honor, they stay quiet and reverent. They want to give somebody respect and give them their attention to hear what's going on. In a lot of ways, the African American community, they're like, no, we're going to help you out. We're going to be vocal, you know? So I was at the choir concert, and there were some people getting up to sing, and it was like, all right, here we go. You know, they didn't even sing a note. You got this. They want them to know we're here, and we're with you, and we're supporting you. And sometimes the cheers were so loud, you didn't even hear the person singing. And I think the person on stage was like, I'm loving this. This is good. I want that feedback. I'm glad. So we have one culture where silence is seen as honorable, and another culture it would be seen as disrespectful. I mean, how can you imagine that? What would happen if you went into a predominantly black African-American church and it was just quiet the whole time? The guy's like, is my mic on? Are you here? I think that we need to have some grace, and we need to learn the different ways to show honor. I think that we could be a little bit more vocal. I think we got the quiet thing down, okay? We're all right with that. But I think that we could do a little bit more vocal. I think that Jay misses it. He comes from a background where he's used to more feedback and interaction. He's hearing me, all right? I think that we need to have some of that. So there are times, and it's appropriate. Now, for me, I'm okay with that. I invite it. I don't want it, like, every minute, all right? But I don't want it to be just, like, a once-a-decade thing either, all right? We got to find a nice in-between where there's some times where you can do it. So if you feel encouraged and something's like, that's right, truth, amen, preach it, you know? What'd you say? Preach a brother. There we go, all right? You can bring that. And if you feel like somebody's looking at you kind of strange, just look at them and say, like, that was good. That was good. What are they going to say? No, it wasn't. It's like, no, that was good. I think we need to encourage each other. We need to honor each other and look for ways that people receive honor and give it to them in a way that they honor each other. As we're finishing up, I don't know exactly what you've heard. Hopefully the Spirit has given you some guidance and some direction. We know that the honor is to light, it's the highly esteem or a weightiness to elevate someone. There's an inward heart aspect that displays this, that's displayed through our outward actions and our emotions and our words. Honor can be earned because of what we've done or who we are. But sometimes it can just be given graciously despite what we've done or who we are. We can't take honor from for ourselves. It's got to be given to us by somebody else, but we can definitely receive it. It's a community aspect. That's why we feel it when we're together, or we feel its absence when we're apart. And even though we can't take honor from ourselves, we can take honor from someone else. We can dishonor someone, where somebody would feel like, you dishonored me. One last thing to think about. Honor isn't accidental. It doesn't just happen. It's intentional. It's purposeful. We decide to honor. And I think that this is going to be really challenging for us because we're in a society that increasingly the influence of entertainment, of keeping things light and playful and shallow, those things tend to run contrary to honor. I'm not saying we can't honor and have fun. I think we can. In fact, I think most of the time we do. But honor has some substance to it, some weight. And much of the things that are pushed into our face and that we consume on a regular basis, it's like a donut. It tastes good for the moment, but man, you feel it later. And it leaves you empty. And it leaves you hollow. So if we're going to honor, then we need to be intentional about being in situations where there's weight, where there's substance. This is one of the reasons why I think it's so good to come together and be part of a church and to gather for a worship service. We're not trying to entertain you. It's not like, you know what, Sunday morning is pretty open. Let's see if we can put on a show then. That is not what's happening here. You know, we want to honor the Lord. We want to lift him up. We want to show that he's good, that he's big, that he's God who loves us, that he saves us, that he's beautiful, that he's bigger than what we can ever imagine. Jay tells us, he reminds us again that we want to paint a picture of God to show that he's bigger and greater than what we can imagine, and he wants the best for you. And the best for you is himself, which is why he sent Jesus, why he came to bridge the gap so that we could be with him. This is one of those times that you guys should be saying amen, that you should be helping out, all right? This is one of those times that we've got to practice, all right? Because this is good news. And this is what we're about, elevating, lifting up the Lord, seeing him, enjoying him, exalting him. When we do that, then we should experience some substance, some weight, to have a meaningful experience. And it doesn't just happen by accident. The same thing can happen among us when we're with each other. We need to be intentional about honoring each other. I was talking with a friend a couple months ago, and he has a cousin who was enlisting into the military. And his cousin's on the older side, like getting close to making the cutoff. So he's like in his mid-30s. For military times, that's like really old. And he's a single guy. And he wanted to do something to give him a good send-off, to show him some respect and encourage him, to honor him. So he said he got the guys together of his family, and they were doing guy stuff, you know, hunting and whatever, I don't know, playing with knives. I don't know what they were doing. They're like real outdoors guys. And there was a moment where he told all of them, okay, we're going to line up in a row, and then one by one, our cousin, this guy, he's going to stand in front of you, look him in the eye, and tell him something that you respect about him. Tell him about who you see, who he is, and who's going to be. Give him some encouragement, and just talk to him. So they did that, and he went down the line one by one, and they said, you know, the things that you can imagine somebody saying to a family member who's about to enlist in the army. And afterwards, this cousin came to my friend, because he knew he organized it, and he said, that was the most meaningful experience I've ever had in my life. He was honored. And by sharing that with the guy that put it together, my friend was honored. There was a mutual buildup, a mutual building up of esteem. And it wasn't something light, and it wasn't trivial. It had meaning behind it. And I think the Lord was pleased. Let us be people that seeks out to honor each other. With meaning, with joy, with laughter, with tears, with substance, because the Lord is worthy. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are glorious. We praise you that you are high and mighty and lifted up. Forgive us for keeping our heads down too much. Let us walk with our heads held high, because as we trust in Christ, we know that we're safe. Troubles may come, but we'll never be crushed. We'll never be led astray as we follow you. It'll be challenging, it'll be difficult, but you are with us. So let us walk in a way that's worthy of you. And we need your help to do that. Let us honor you with the words that we speak, with the desires that we have, with the actions that we take, with the compassion and love and the grace and the mercy that we show, because it's been given to us first. We ask, God, that you would be glorified through our lives. And through that, others would see it and they would come and enjoy and trust you as well. Give us boldness. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day.